you doing? Welcome to today's live. It's all very exciting, gearing up as the week goes on. I'm just adding my presentation here to to the screen, although I'm actually going to hold it out for a wee minute just while I say hi. And today your fitness word is body, B-O-D-Y. That is your fitness word for today, body, B-O-D-Y. So welcome to this live, everybody. Good to see you all. The sun is shining here in Belfast, but it is not actually warm. The sun is just shining. And well done to all of you who have showed up and are here on time. That means that you have your overachiever hat on today. And I'm very excited whenever someone has their overachiever hat on, because that is the best way to make sure that you are forging forward and achieving your goals and sculpting the best body you've ever had, which is actually the mission of the Sculpted Vegan. So what have we got planned for you today? Well, today's masterclass is all about the fat burning zone. I was about to say today's masterclass is actually not going to be very long. It's not a very comprehensive masterclass. There's actually, today's presentation is a little shorter. Yesterday we went quite long. So I was going to tell you today's really isn't that long. And then I was like, those are kind of famous last words because I don't think I have ever presented. I've always like tried to keep these masterclasses whenever I present them in the 5-day challenge. I've always tried to keep them to like under 60 minutes. And genuinely, I've always just failed miserably. Yesterday, I went completely off on a tangent during that masterclass, completely off on a rant. Somebody actually commented the other week and said, I don't really think Kim knows what she's going to talk about in these masterclasses. And I laughed and I said, you know what? You're so bloody right. I really don't. I feel like I want to get more square on here. I really don't know. I have like a rough outline, but I kind of just wing it as well as I go. So hopefully you guys are enjoying the training. I really do want to get to a Q&A today though. So I am going to get started pretty sharpish. I'm going to say a few hellos and then we're going to get started. Like I said, well done to all of you who showed up early. You will know why. Who do we have? We have Julie is here. We have Charlotte. We have Cosmic Empress. What a name. Love it. We have Ivona, we have Catherine and Kelly and Elizabeth and Julie and Nicole and Char and Lily and Kelly and Olive and Tara and Sue and Steph and Ivanka and Gina and Crystal and Kinney and Kosher and Brenda and Annie and Josie and Dawn and Tara and Minnie and Annika and Eva. We have Lucia and Liz and Jennifer and Isa and Rubianne and Barbie and Jill. We have UK Dance Films is here as well. Hey, hey, hey. We have Minnie and Handan and Silkia. Oh my goodness, so many. We have so many more. There's like hundreds and hundreds on now. So I do not have, unfortunately, enough time to say hello to everybody. But hello to everybody. Thank you so much for being here today. Let's just get started with the presentation so that we have enough time at the end to do some Q&As, because I really do want to do a Q&A today. So today's masterclass is all about the fat burning zone. Yeah, it's all about the fat burning zone. Let's just get started. Okay, so people always ask me this question. In fact, I get asked this question all the time on Instagram, on Facebook, everywhere. People say, how much cardio should I do for fat loss? In fact, people don't even ask me, how much cardio should I do for fat loss? People ask me, how much cardio should I do? And I always say, how much cardio for what? And they're like, for, you know, to get fit. How fit do you want to be? Like, do you want to run a marathon? Do you want to do an Ironman? Do you want to be able to walk to the local supermarket? Like, you know, you need to really be able to define your goal first and foremost. But let's see what I have written here and we'll go through it. So how much cardio should I do for fat loss, which is what I assume people mean whenever they say, how much cardio should I do? Most people overestimate the importance of exercise and underestimate the importance of eating correctly. However, in order to get maximum results from your body transformation efforts, you must focus on all three elements equally. I haven't, I've Yeah, I actually forgot to tell you there. I think I added it earlier. The third element is gym. So I've actually only talked about cardio and nutrition there. So in order to really get maximum results from your body transformation, you need cardio, nutrition, and strength training. Okay, those are the three elements. I've just forgotten to write strength training in. I apologize. In fact, you know what? Oh man, where am I going? I'm jumping around here. Let me see. I'm going to write it in here. Most people over the diet, obviously, they're eating correctly and strength training. There you are. Just in case people are watching the replay and got confused. Nutrition will give you 80% of your fat burning results. Most people are surprised by this. Cardio accounts for about 15% of your fat burning efforts, with strength training accounting for the last 5%. And there you can see a photo of me just for comparison. This is before I had my boobs, but as you can see, it is possible to get rid of that fat from around your belly. You just have to work really, really, really hard to do it. Now, here is one of our absolutely incredible sculpted vegan graduates. You're going to be seeing in over the next couple of days, a lot of the pictures that I'm going to show you are going to be our graduates, because we have sold, as I told you the other day, over 500,000 programs since I founded the company in 2017. And the results really are nothing short of astonishing. And we have thousands upon thousands upon thousands of before and after transformation pictures. And I don't know why we don't use them enough. And so we're actually going to be setting up a whole testimonials page now within the company. And we're making testimonial videos and stuff. We have an incredible new creative director on board. And so we're going to be really focusing on that. But you know, is it really sad? It's awful that I actually don't know this girl's name. But this was a photo she posted in the Facebook group at the end of one of our competitions, and I was just absolutely astonished. And I screen grabbed, or I took the photo, but without actually screen grabbing her name, which was a big mistake. So if you know who this is, or if this is you, please come forward and tell us your name so we can celebrate you all over the world. So here's what the fat burning equation looks like. Most people are really surprised by this. Nutrition, 80%. Cardio, 15%. Strength training, 5%. Now that's just me. That's just my kind of experience. That's my guesstimate based on experience, my own personal experience, and also working with people. Cardio could actually maybe be 18% and strength training 2%. But just to keep it even, I went with the 5 and the 15. Here's another one of our incredible graduates from the Extreme Body Makeover program. How absolutely hot does she look on the right hand side? I really do need to start writing down people's names. This is terrible. I just download the photos whenever they post them and I forget their names. So again, if this is you, tell us this is you in the comments so we can celebrate you. If fat loss is your goal, rather than jumping on the treadmill straight away, you should put all your effort into nailing your nutrition. Plan your meals for the week and prep in advance. Our members spend about 2 to 3 hours on the weekend prepping all their food for the week. Courtney's story. Okay, so I'm going to tell you a story to illustrate this so that you can fully understand what I mean, because I really want you to get the best results possible out of these 5 days. So Courtney Cambodi won one of our previous shred competitions, but it wasn't her first attempt. Previously, she had attempted the 4-week shred program, but hadn't come anywhere near the top 10. When she won a future competition, which was the Jailhouse Shred, I interviewed her and asked how she had managed to get such brilliant results second time round. Her answer? Meal prepping. In only 4 weeks, she lost 23 pounds of body fat. Now, let me tell you what happened whenever I spoke to Courtney. So I interviewed her, as I do with a lot of the members, after they have won money. And this was done in literally 4 weeks. It was astonishing what she managed to achieve. And I said to her, you know, how did you get such great results? And she said, honestly, the biggest difference this time around was following the meal plan. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, she said, I'd done a previous competition, which was the 4-week shred competition. And she said, I looked at the plan, I looked at the meal plan, and I looked at the cardio plan and the strength training plan. And she said, I thought, I have never in my life done the amount of exercise that is contained in this program. Because on that program, there was 2 hours cardio a day. There was an hour in the morning and an hour in the afternoon. And then there was strength training 6 days a week. So you got a full day's rest, I think, on a Sunday. But 6 days a week, there was 2 hours cardio, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. And then there was strength training during the day. So she said, I looked at the nutrition and I looked at the cardio and strength plan. And I thought, there's no way that I'm not going to get amazing results if I follow just the cardio and the strength plan. So she said, I looked at the meal plan and she said, I took principles from it. And I thought, well, I'll do that and I'll eat that breakfast, but I'll maybe not meal prep that dinner. And she said, I kind of took from it what it was, you know, I wanted. And she said, I probably followed it about 50%. And she said, but I followed the exercise 100%. I did the cardio in my fat burning zone. I did all of the strength training workouts. She goes, I even put in extra steps. I, you know, did extra cardio if I could. This is for the previous competition, the 4 week shred. She said, I gave it my all. And she said, whenever she goes, I thought I'd got good results until I saw the results of some of the members, some of what they had done in 4 weeks. And she said, I was absolutely astonished. I realized that my results were nowhere near as good as other people's. And she said, the only thing that I hadn't done was follow the meal plan. She goes, because honestly, I'm not a great cook and I really can't be arsed to figure it out. And, you know, and she said that bit seemed hard for me, even though going to the gym every day seemed hard. She said, all I had to do was drive there, click on the video, follow the exercise, get on the treadmill. She goes, it really wasn't hard. So actually Jailhouse Shred, it was a home training program. So she was actually doing body weight exercises from home. She wasn't going to the gym. So anyway, she said that bit seems like it's hard, but it doesn't take a lot of thought to figure it out. She said, but really I was just lazy. I couldn't be bothered to figure out the meal plan. And I thought I would get really good results doing just the cardio and training. And I really didn't. So she said, this time, whenever I saw the program advertised, I knew that I was going to focus 100% of attention on the meal plan. So whenever we ran this competition, she said she first downloaded the meal plan. She didn't even look at the exercise portion of it. She downloaded the meal plan. She followed it to a T. She bought all the ingredients. She sat down with a pen and a piece of paper. She went through the shopping lists. She prepped all the food on the weekend for the week. So she had all of her breakfast, all of her lunch, all of her dinners, all of her snacks. She said the first week it took her about 4 hours. But she said, but then she realized during the week she didn't have to cook. And one more time during the week, everything was prepped. It was literally grab and go. So even though the 4 hours on the Sunday had seemed like a lot, and sitting down and working it all out and going shopping, it seemed like a lot, she said she not only saved a huge amount of money because she wasn't running to the supermarket to pick things up midweek, she also saved an enormous amount of time during the week. So all she had to do was focus on the exercise, which was time consuming enough. And at the end of the program, these were her results. She said she literally doubled her results. I don't even remember her photos from the 4 week shred. I should probably actually go back and find them. But she doubled her results. And the only thing that she did differently was she followed the meal plan. It is so important to get your nutrition right if you want to change your body. In fact, it is the most important thing, not just for fat loss, but also for strength training, because you have to fuel your muscles properly. There's no point in you going into the gym and training to failure and lifting really hard if you're not fueling your muscles. Whenever I first started training in the gym, I ignored the nutrition part as well. I did exactly the same thing. I completely ignored the nutrition and I was like, oh, I know a lot about nutrition. Like I was a yoga teacher. I ran a yoga detox company. I knew a lot about nutrition. So I thought, no, I know enough about nutrition and I only eat beans and lentils and cruciferous vegetables. And I only eat brown rice and bread shall never pass my lips. Like I am super healthy. Like I was really narcissistic about, you know, how healthy I was, and are really egotistical, I guess, about how healthy I was. So I didn't believe that I needed Emily Sky's nutrition program because I was, you know, the yoga detox teacher. I had my own nutrition program. So I didn't follow Emily Sky's. I did not know anything about eating for fuel, about the correct foods to eat, when to eat them, how much protein to have, nothing. And so I sacrificed an enormous amount of potential muscle in the first 3 months of my training, April, May, June, 4 months, July. I started training with Curtis in July, and that's when he completely transformed my nutrition and started increasing my calories. But I was going to the gym and busting my ass on 1,200 calories a day. My body did not have any fat reserves to call from that it was willing to let go of to build muscle. It was like, oh, we're not giving fat to build muscle because we already get underfed. We're not going to give you any of our potential future fat stores because our goal here is to keep her alive. So absolutely not. So I was going in and lifting really heavy, and my body was cannibalizing muscle tissue to build other muscle tissue. So I'm training legs. My body's not willing to give up the fat store because I'm already underfeeding it. So it's breaking down muscles in my shoulders and my back to create amino acids to feed the muscles in my legs when I'm training legs. And then I go in to train back and my body starts breaking down muscle tissue in my legs to feed the muscles in my back. This is what happens when you're a chronic undereater. If you start strength training and you're not fueling your body correctly, your body holds on to fat stores because it cannot count on you to feed it properly or consistently. And so it starts to cannibalize muscle tissue. So you are literally wasting time. It's like a dog chasing its tail. You are getting nowhere. You're putting in a lot of effort, getting zero results. Okay, lecture over. This is one of our lovely coaches, but she wasn't a coach at this stage. She was a competitor, but this is Grace. And whenever I saw Grace's picture, she posted some of these pictures on our Facebook group. And I was like, like my jaw hit the floor. I was like, look at the muscle she built. Look how phenomenal she looks. Like Grace's body on the right is literally like, I like salivate over it. Like it's literally one. It would be my ideal body. It's very similar to my body actually, and my body shape. She says, giving herself a rap here, but it is quite similar to my body. I'd probably be thicker with muscle maybe, but this is Grace. People always ask, how do you become a coach in the Sculpted Vegan? You do what Grace did. And Misty, who was one of our other coaches we took on from UBM. And then previously Jenny and Vanessa and Philippa and Rachel are other incredible coaches. They're all graduates from our programs. So how do you become a coach? You graduate from one of our programs with absolutely insane results and demonstrate your knowledge within the groups. That's exactly what Grace did. So eat less, not burn more. So listen to this, right? This is where what I'm teaching you is hopefully going to make sense for you. It's far easier to eat 200 less calories than it is to burn 200 calories. Most people overestimate how many calories they are burning during cardio. It feels like it's a lot of effort. So we assume that effort must translate to fat burning, but it doesn't. Putting less calories in is far more effective than burning more. It could take you up to 60 minutes of strong uphill walking on a treadmill to burn 200 calories. But you can cut 200 calories out of your diet by simply making a few small adjustments. So here is the bottom line. Most people overestimate how many calories they burn from doing cardio, and they underestimate the importance of simply cutting those calories out of their diet. It takes a phenomenal amount of effort to burn calories. And see those calorie tracker watches that tell you, oh, you just burned 500 calories. You didn't. You really didn't. They're not accurate. Whenever people get on the treadmill and they measure their heart rate and then they get like a, oh my God, I was on the treadmill and I burned 650 calories. Does that mean I have an extra 650 calories to eat? You really did not burn 650 calories. Those things I think are designed to make people feel good. They really are not accurate. How can a machine that measures your heart rate every so often, or a watch that measures your heart rate that knows nothing else about you, doesn't know your body fat, your current fitness level, how much oxygen is being pumped to your blood or your muscles, doesn't know anything about you, how can it tell you how many calories you've burned? By simply taking some kind of average and applying some kind of equation to it and giving you a number. The number is not accurate. You do not go by those numbers, okay? I'm so warm. I'm going to take off my outer layer. So you don't go by those numbers, okay? But this is what a lot of people don't think about. It is so much easier to cut 200 calories out of your diet than it is to try to burn off 200 calories. I mean, one tablespoon of olive oil contains, I think, 120 calories. 120 calories in one tablespoon of olive oil. How many of you, whenever you're cooking, pick up the olive oil and do this? Right? Pour it all around the pan. How much is going in there? Like 2 tablespoons, 3 tablespoons, 4 tablespoons? Who knows? If you're putting 2 tablespoons of oil into something you're cooking, you're adding 240 calories to what you're cooking. So if you're adding 240 calories consistently to your food, you could literally start cooking with an oil spray or just saute in water. That's what I do a lot whenever I'm dieting. I saute everything in water, and you're not adding those extra 240 calories. You would have to march uphill on a treadmill for 60 minutes to burn off those 2 tablespoons of oil that you put into the pan to make your soup. So whenever you start counting your calories, you will be absolutely horrified, for those of you who don't do it already, as to how many calories are actually contained in food, especially in fat. So whenever we're slathering butter or vegan butter onto our bread or our toast, or we're drizzling things with olive oil, or eating a cheese sandwich, like, it's vegan cheese contains so many calories, it is insane. And we're just not aware of these calories that we're eating. But whenever you start to make small incremental changes to your diet, your body drops fat so fast. That's why if you eat via the principles that I've been teaching this week, and also if any of you choose to invest in the 6-month program that we're opening on Friday, the principles that we give you to eat by mean that you can literally eat as much as you want and your body will not store body fat, and you will burn it really, really fast because you're completely changing how you eat. You're eating food that is nutritionally dense but calorifically light. The problem is most of us are eating food that is nutritionally light but calorifically dense. So we're permanently starving because we're eating small amounts of food that contain a huge amount of calories, and we are permanently starving and overweight. Or for those of us who are underweight and we're trying to build muscle or trying to change our body, you're not actually eating enough to be able to do that. So you're cannibalizing your muscle tissue. And as your body is cannibalizing muscle tissue to give you energy, you're actually lowering your metabolism even more, which means that your body needs less and less and less calories to survive. So you're on a vicious, vicious cycle. Really, to change your body, you need three things. You need strength training. Well, two things primarily, strength training and nutrition. And then if you have body fat to lose, you need cardio. And you cannot do it any other way. So which is the most effective form of cardio? The one that you will do consistently. I get asked this all the time. People say, what's the best type of cardio to do? And I say, the one you'll do consistently. And they're like, oh, is rowing okay? Absolutely. Can I swim? Yes. Can I walk? Definitely. Can I run? Yes. Oh, but I heard running's really bad for cortisol levels. And I'm like, honestly, see all of this talk about women and cortisol levels and menopause and cortisol levels? You would have to be in an intensely high-stressed situation for a long period of time for your cortisol levels to spike anywhere near the levels that would be detrimental to your fat loss. Genuinely, I do honestly think sometimes that we're drowning in too much information. There's too much information out there, which is really just conflicting and unnecessary about, supplements and about, different types of cardio and fat burning and EPOC exercise, post oxygen consumption, and HIIT cardio versus slow cardio. But really what we need to do is forget everything that you've ever learned and just show up to the gym consistently, train to failure in either at home or in the gym consistently, eat good food 80% of the time consistently, and do, move your body every day consistently. And if you just do those things and you do them for long enough, your body will transform. There really is no rocket science behind it. And people on the internet, other coaches and fitness trainers would love you to believe that there's rocket science behind it and that there's a very precise formula for getting shredded. And I think that people love information, right? People, meaning me. I used to be this way. I used to really want to dig into, I used to overthink things. I used to be a terrible overthinker. I don't overthink at all anymore ever. Now I'm totally calm and clear all the time. No overthinking ever happens inside my brain. And if you believe that, you'll believe anything. So I used to be the kind of person, and I don't know whether you might be like me, you might not, but let me tell you the way I used to be. I used to be the kind of person who I would micromanage everything. My team were like, used to be, Kim. So I used to micromanage everything. I used to be like, okay, so I'm going to be precisely this amount and precisely this amount, and I'm going to take these supplements, and I used to have timers on my watches, right? I'm going to take alpha lipoic acid at least 30 minutes before I eat, because that's going to shuttle more nutrients away from fat stores and into muscle cells. And then, I'm going to go to the gym at 4 p.m., which means on 4 p.m. is the ideal time to go because it's directly between this meal and this meal. But then if I set a timer for 30 minutes before I go to the gym, I'll be able to take my L-carnitine, and the L-carnitine is very important because then when I'm in the gym, my body will utilize fat stores as energy instead of burning off muscle glycogen. And that's what the L-carnitine does, but it has to happen 30 minutes before I go to the gym. And then after I finish the gym, the minute I set down my last weight, I'm going to pick up my Vitargo shake and I'm going to drink it immediately. And I cannot absolutely go beyond the 30 minutes because then I might sacrifice muscle building opportunity. And this is what I'm trying to do here, is build muscle. And if anything ever went wrong, I used to totally be like, oh, I forgot my protein shake. I remember once my protein shake exploded in my bag because I hadn't put the lid on properly. And I actually... I'm not even kidding. I scooped my protein shake out of my gym bag and drank it. God knows what creatures were living in the bottom of my gym bag. And I didn't care. I was like, but I need my protein and my Vitargo for my muscle building. I can't sacrifice my guns for like, you know, the shit at the bottom of my gym bag. Like, I've seen myself, honestly, I remember, like, I dropped my protein shake or my powder in the back of my car once, and there was the powder went over the back of my car, and I started scraping it off the floor in the back of my car because I was away from the gym and I was going to train. And I mean, my muscles might not have grown as big as they grew if I didn't have the protein powder within 30 minutes of finishing the workout. Let me tell you something. None of it made a damn bit of difference. My muscles did not grow any faster because of my OCD tendencies. But what the OCD allowed me to do was to feel like I was doing more. I wanted to feel like I could speed up the process. I'm the kind of person who, if I want something, I want it now. I don't want to think about it tomorrow or next week. I want it now, and I want to try and make it now, and I'm going to push it now. I'm going to try and figure out a way to have it now. And so I honestly believed if I just micromanaged everything, every single tiny little detail, that I could have it faster. And 7 years down the line, I've realized it's not true. In fact, I realized it several years ago. And this is what I try to teach women, okay? No matter how much you obsess about something, no matter how much you get it right, no matter how much you dig into the science behind eating before you train or not eating before you train, or should you eat in the morning before you do cardio or eat after you do cardio, or should you eat within a 30-minute window of going to train, and should you have carbs before you train and carbs after you train? And if you don't have carbs after you train, are you sacrificing muscle building? And where should your heart rate be whenever you're doing cardio? But your heart, you know, maximum heart rate is, you should be in 135, but you realize, oh my God, all last week you were only in 128, and does that mean that you've sacrificed 7 beats per minute of your heart rate zone, which means that you're not going to get as good results? No, none of that matters. What matters is you show up again and again and again and again and again and again and again, and you don't stress about it, and you don't worry about it, and you just make it part of what you do, like getting up and brushing your teeth every day, or setting your alarm and going to work every day, or cooking dinner for your family every day. These things are part of your routine, and you make cardio part of your routine. You make training part of your routine. You make eating healthy food part of your routine. And then you say, I'm going to do this for a year, and I'm going to see where I am in a year. And you forget about it until next year. And that is how you change your body. In bodybuilding, consistency is the name of the game. Whatever you will consistently stick at over a long period of time is the option that will get you the best and fastest results. Each one of us is different. I'm against intermittent fasting, mostly because I can't even imagine not eating until lunchtime, because I eat twice before lunchtime and I'm already like starving and ready to eat my own arm. So I can't imagine missing two meals in the morning. But also, intermittent fasting keeps your metabolism slow, and you want to ramp up your metabolism in the morning, because whenever you're sleeping, you're in a fasted state. When you're in a fasted state, your metabolism is low. When your metabolism is low, it's not burning fat. It's not doing anything, in fact. So intermittent fasting keeps your metabolism slow. All intermittent fasting does is it reduces your eating window. So intermittent fasting, the science behind intermittent fasting is it's just calorie restriction. But calorie restriction is calorie restriction is calorie restriction. You can restrict your calories and eat all day long. You could eat 10 times a day and still restrict your calories. So it's just you shorten the eating window. Now, but in saying that, what I always say to people is, if you love intermittent fasting and you're not ready to give it up, and you're like, but Kim, it's the only thing that's worked for me, and you believe that you've seen results, that that's worked for you, then you rock on. You keep your intermittent fasting. I'm not here to take it away from you. You keep it. If you love it and it works for you, you rock on. If you're like, Kim, I will never squat a day in my life, but I love cable glute kickbacks, well, you fucking kick back that cable for as many times as you want. Just make sure you do it hard and heavy. So, you know, you never don't do what you need to do because you have a limitation. If you can't squat, well, find something you can do. You know, if you can't do leg extensions, find something you can do. There's always, always something that you can do. You can't overhead press like this. Well, try overhead pressing like this. Try overhead pressing like this. Try overhead pressing with dumbbells. Try overhead pressing with machines. Try overhead pressing with cables. There's always something that you can do. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be consistent in order to get results. Oh, and we're on homework already. I told you this was a really short one. Okay, so we're going to do a Q&A. But you know what? I didn't actually expect to get to homework. So let's go back a wee minute. Are you guys like, are you, okay, let's go to homework, actually. I shocked even myself there. Okay, so here's what you're going to do for your homework. And then we're going to do a Q&A. There's actually not as many people on today. So this is great. It'll be a good Q&A. Homework, you're going to make a list of cardio options you enjoy or are willing to try. Number two, I don't know why number two is very small. Write down the minimum number of minutes you're able to commit to cardio each day. Even if it's only 5 minutes, then write that down and you can do more if you have time. Let me just check, yeah. And then using the formula below, so I want you to screen grab this or write it down. I'll keep it up for a while. Calculate your fat burning zone heart rate. So here's how you calculate it. The number 220 minus your age. So let me work mine out. In fact, I know what mine is. I'll work it out anyway. So I'm 45. So 220 minus 45 is 175. Then I'm going to multiply that number by 70%. So 175 multiplied by 0.7 is 122.5. So 123. So my fat burning zone when I'm doing cardio is 123 beats per minute. So what I do when I'm doing cardio is I wear my Apple Watch, which I don't have on today, and I set it to calculate my heart rate, and I check it every 5 to 10 minutes. In fact, I don't really need to anymore because I know when I'm in my fat burning zone, but I check it every 5 to 10 minutes to make sure I'm still doing 123 beats per minute in my fat burning zone. And I play around with it to keep it there. Sometimes I'll speed up the treadmill. Sometimes I'll slow it down, but put it on more of an incline. Sometimes I'll slow it right down and put it on even more of an incline. Sometimes I'll run a little bit to get it up and then I'll slow down again. But I know when my heart rate is consistently in 123 beats per minute that I am right in the fat burning zone. And that's what I want you to do today. I didn't do any nutrition in your homework because we covered nutrition yesterday and we're actually going to cover a little bit more tomorrow with motivation and mindset. But I wanted you to focus a little bit more on cardio. Now, there's the other thing I wanted to bring to your attention today is I saw quite a few people in the group saying, you know, things like, oh, you know, I would love to be able to change my lifestyle, but I just can't because I've got, you know, children and I've got a husband, I've got a job and I have to cook and I have to do this. I call BS on that. And here's why. Because you don't have to change drastically in one go. You can make small incremental changes. So rather than thinking you have to overhaul and change everything, just ask yourself, what can you do? Like, what small changes could you make today? Maybe it's one meal. Maybe it's just having protein in the morning. Maybe it's switching out your carbs to lentils and beans and that's it. Maybe it's just eating more vegetables. Maybe it's doing a 5 minute walk on the treadmill. Like sometimes I do not feel like doing cardio. I don't do much cardio at the minute. In fact, I don't do any cardio, but I feel like I need to do a little more to build up my fitness now because the eventing season is coming up with the horses. So what I do is I tell myself in the morning, I'm going to walk on the treadmill for 5 minutes. And I genuinely allow myself to get off again if after 5 minutes I don't feel like it. But I say to myself, I'm just going to go down, I'm just going to turn on the treadmill and I'm going to walk for as long as I feel like walking because I'm not on a specific plan at the minute. So tell myself I'm going to walk for as long as I feel like walking. So I turn it on and I start walking. Sometimes that's 20 minutes, sometimes it's 40, sometimes it's an hour if I'm watching a really good show. So if you're not on a specific cardio plan or a specific plan to, you know, shred or build or whatever, if you're not working towards a specific goal, but you just want to have a lifestyle change, which is what this five-day challenge is all about, then just commit to doing something, even if it's 5 minutes a day. And that's what your homework is. It's just about building consistency and getting you started. And then tomorrow, we are going to talk about motivation and mindset. And I love putting a picture of Jenny here, one of our members, because Jenny, I believe, is, I want to say 78. And hopefully I haven't given her a few more years. Certainly she does not look 78. But Jenny achieved these results in 6 months and she has not stopped. She is keeping going. She did the 8-week body burn program. And I know she fully intends to do the 6-month extreme body makeover as well. And she has decided at 78 years of age that she's going to be in the best shape of her life. And we have loads of members in their 70s in our program. In fact, it's a really huge group of women, which is now expanding. My mum actually said to me the other day, my mum is 70. No, she's not 70. She's 69. She's nearly 70. She'll be 70 next year. And she was like, I really need to start strength training again. I was like, mum, you really do. She's noticed that her knee, she had a knee operation years ago, complete knee replacement. And she's really noticed that her knee has started giving her a lot of jip recently. And I said, you really need to strengthen those muscles around your knee. She goes, I know, I need to get back into your gym again. And I said, well, just show up and do it. You know, just do it. She was highly motivated whenever she was getting married. She got married there last October. She trained in the gym for about 6 months. And then she just gave up. Because she doesn't have another goal. So I need to get her on a goal, on a goals program, and get her back into the gym. But this is a really huge group for us now, this group of women. So there you have it, guys. Guys and girls, I'm going to do a Q&A now. So if you have a question, please put it in the chat here, and just put it in as, you know, question with a capital, within capitals, question, and then write the question afterwards. And I'm going to take the questions here from the bottom. And if you have already put a question in, then you, I'm not going to go back up. I want you to repost it here down at the bottom. So Liz is asking, hello, Liz. So good to see you here. Liz is one of our veteran Sculpted Vegan members. How do supplements and vitamins factor into your daily calorie intake at all? I never counted supplements. The only supplements you would count would be something like Vitargo, which is a high molecular carbohydrate, which actually is very calorific. You would factor Vitargo in, but apart from that, I never ever counted supplements in my daily calorie intake, because really they don't have enough calories in them to really make a difference. Now, the other supplement, I guess, actually just saying that would be that you would count would be something like flax oil. So anything which is an oil, if you're taking oils, or if you're taking like 5 capsules of something, and the calories in those capsules, say those, they're oils, right? And the calories in those capsules are like 90 calories. Then I'm on a precise calorie and macro controlled diet, I would count those. But if they're low calories, like less than 40 or 50, you don't need to count them. It's totally fine. Another question from Tara. Hi, Tara. Another one of our veteran Sculpted Vegan members. Good to see you. Tara actually just won the 8-week body burn program. Did absolutely epic things with her body. So well done, Tara. Can you go over what you think the advantages of a plant-based diet are? I'm going to ruffle a lot of feathers here, Tara, and say that genuinely, in terms of bodybuilding, there isn't a huge amount of benefits that honestly, if you're eating clean, nutritious food, and you know me, I'll always be real, and the vegans are like, oh, I can't believe she's not just saying this, and but genuinely, look, protein is protein. And I'll expand a little bit more on this in a second, but the meat eaters would get very up, the meat eating bodybuilders, right, get really annoyed. They love to preach and say, you know, that meat-based protein is superior, and as a vegan, you're never going to get enough protein to be able to build muscle. But here's the thing, protein is protein, right? It doesn't matter where the protein source comes from, because protein is protein. Your body will utilize protein in exactly the same way whether it comes from an animal or it comes from a plant. Animal protein is complete protein, as in it contains the 13 amino acids that are essential, which means that your body does not make them. But there are, tofu also contains the 13 essential amino acids, as does quinoa. But if you're eating a wide range of foods, which you do whenever you eat the way I teach in this program, you're going to get those 13 amino acids no problem. Like, you don't need to get them from meat. So there's no benefits to that. People always ask me, like, did I notice a difference after I went vegan? I went vegan. I was vegetarian. I've been vegetarian now for 21 years, and I've been vegan for, I think, 8 years. I only really went vegan just before I started the Sculpted Vegan, just before I started bodybuilding. I think it was in 2016 or 2015. 2016, I went vegan. 2015, I started playing with it. 2016 is when I went vegan fully, and or plant-based, should I say, not vegan. So and people always say to me, oh, what differences did you notice after you went vegan? And I'm like, none. And they're like, what do you mean none? I'm like, none. And they're like, did you not have glossier hair and stronger nails and better sleep? I'm like, no. And they're like, oh, because I think a lot of people want to believe that they see these things. And I'm not saying that there haven't been people who have, you know, noticed huge benefits from, you know, maybe they were extremely unhealthy beforehand and they went plant-based, and their cholesterol came down. And because that is one of the things I'll say now, it does lower your cholesterol enormously. And maybe they did notice massive benefits, but it may not have been just from going vegan. They may have had a whole diet and lifestyle change. So genuinely, what are the advantages of a plant-based diet? Lower cholesterol is one. Anyone who's eating a plant-based diet does not have high cholesterol, because high cholesterol only comes from ingesting cholesterol from other animals, because there's no cholesterol in plants. And the human body makes exactly the amount of cholesterol that it needs every single day. So the only way a human being would have high cholesterol, it is not hereditary, despite what people want to believe. They're like, oh, I have high cholesterol because it's hereditary. That's what my mother-in-law loves to tell me. She always says, oh, it's hereditary, high cholesterol. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's just that you eat ice cream and milk and butter and cheese and all of these things all the time. She's like, but I don't eat a lot of meat. I'm like, but you eat a lot of dairy. So dairy has a lot of cholesterol in it, right? Dairy actually has more cholesterol than and eggs has more cholesterol than meat. There's so much cholesterol in the yolk of an egg. So whenever people are eating a lot of cholesterol from other animals, that's whenever they get high cholesterol. So people who go plant-based do experience a massive lowering of their cholesterol. As far as the other benefits, I mean, you're not hurting the planet. That's another thing. You know, the amount of effort that goes into feeding one cow for meat could feed 2,000 hungry people. And there are hungry people all over the world. The grain that feeds and fats one cow to be killed for meat could feed 2,000 hungry people. So you're helping the planet. You're lowering your cholesterol. Generally, people who are plant-based are more health conscious, so therefore they eat a wider range of foods, but that's not due to the plants, that's just due to personal lifestyle and choices. I usually ruffle a lot of feathers whenever I say this, but I'm not going to lie to you, I'm going to be real whenever it comes to things, and I'm not going to pretend that, you know, the plant-based diet is the be-all and end-all. I think people who are really invested in their veganism and who are ethical vegan, they really love to see what they want to see, is the honest to God's truth. But you can be a very healthy carnivore or omnivore, and you can be a very healthy vegan, and you can be a very unhealthy omnivore, and you can be a very unhealthy vegan. It's not the vegan or the omnivore or what you choose or your lifestyle that causes the difference. It's the food that you choose to eat as part of that diet. So that's one, all I would say. Angelina. Hi Kim, I have osteoporosis and fibromyalgia, and I experienced terrible flares due to the gluten on the 4-week shred program. Is there any other option for protein? Yeah, you don't need to have seitan. If you're intolerant to seitan, you can have tofu, you can have tempeh, you can have sunflower mince or hash. It's like minced beef, like we call it minced beef over here. I think it's called beef hash or hashe in America, or beef crumbles made from sunflowers. Absolutely phenomenal. You can have any soy based meats or crumbles or minces. There's so many options. Like seitan really is just one of the tiny options that are available. We have gluten-free plans as part of our, I'm not sure what 4-week you did, but if you did the 4-week shredded body, then we have a gluten-free plan on the 4-week shredded body program and on the over 50s program. So if you follow the gluten-free plan, you'll be absolutely golden. Some of you are asking about the word of the day. Yes, I already said it, guys. I already said the word of the day. So if you missed it, you'll have to go back and listen to the replay. I apologize. How much water should we consume? Look, general rule of thumb, 2 liters a day. I drink about 1 liter in the morning whenever I'm training. And after I get up in the morning, I have a bottle of Pellegrino on my desk every day, which is 1 liter, I think. So I'll usually finish this before I go to bed. I'll probably have another maybe 250 mils in the evening. So I'll drink about 2 liters of water a day. It's just a general rule of thumb. If I don't drink my 2 liters, I don't feel any physical benefits any ill effects in my body, but I'm in the routine of drinking 2 liters of water a day. So whenever you drink a lot of water consistently, your body doesn't hold on to water, because your body knows, just like when you feed it consistently, your body knows that you're feeding it food consistently. And so just like when you're feeding it water consistently, your body doesn't need to hold on to any water. So you get more bloated whenever you don't drink enough water, which is really interesting. So if you want to get rid of water, your body holding on to water, make sure that you're drinking lots of water, because that's the way to do it. Wendy, is there a formula for how much water we should be drinking? Okay, sorry, I should have read the question first. No, there's no formula. Just aim for 2 liters a day and you'll be golden. Does walking count as cardio? 100%. Anything that moves your body counts as cardio. The only thing that you want to try and do if you're really serious about your fat burning efforts is you want to try and keep your heart rate within the fat burning zone. That's the most important thing. So keep the heart rate within the fat burning zone. And that is the best thing to make sure that you're burning fat. And so any cardio counts whenever you're keeping your heart rate in the fat burning zone. Is there a trick to reduce gas from beans and lentils? They kill me. Not really. You just eat less of them and eat them consistently over time, and your microbiome will create the bacteria to break them down and you won't suffer as much. But it really is just consistency over time. I have been told that if you soak them before you cook them, that can help. I've never done it though. Well, I do soak lentils actually before I cook them. If I'm cooking beans from scratch, I'll soak them before I cook them because otherwise they can be poisonous, as kidney beans especially. Digestive enzymes, I have told, is also a good one for helping with beans and lentils, but these are not things I've tried myself, but I just see there are things that people have talked about in the groups. Christy is saying, how about those fit under the desk silent peddlers? Could that minimal amount of movement for some daytime cardio? Yes, absolutely amazing. Like, I know some people who have under desk treadmills. So if you have an under desk treadmill, then for sure, if you walk on that, that movement all counts as cardio. Question. Sharon, metabolism. I had my thyroid removed many years ago and I am stable with hormone replacement medication, with ESB nutrition and exercise kickstarting metabolism. Do you think it will change how the hormone meds work? Appreciate it might be medical. No, it shouldn't. It I'm like peering over the top of your question. No, Sharon, it shouldn't make any difference whatsoever. There's no reason why making your body healthy and more and fitter and having everything work more efficiently should affect anything negatively. If anything, it'll just affect it positively. So I'm happy to answer that from a non-medical perspective, that I really cannot see how getting healthier and fitter is going to negatively affect your meds. And if it does, then there's something seriously wrong with your meds. Okay, I'm an undereater. I'm a bit underweight, so no cardio or a little. It depends on your goal. If you want to get fitter so you can lift more in the gym, then a little cardio and staying active is actually really good because you want to keep your heart healthy. So what I find is people who are fit can squat more in the gym. They can lift more in the gym because their cardiovascular system doesn't fatigue faster than their muscles. So I always recommend cardio, yes. I don't do any at the minute, any scheduled cardio, but I do ride my horses a lot. I'm very active. I walk about 20,000 to 25,000 steps a day. So I have a very, very active lifestyle, but I don't do any scheduled cardio at the minute. But yeah, I always say everyone should do some kind of cardio unless you're really focusing hard on muscle building. And if you are, then you're going to be training in the gym 5 days a week anyway. So you're going to be exerting your body every day anyway. And in that case, it wouldn't be necessary. If you cannot tolerate soy, tempeh, or seitan, is there enough proteins in beans and lentils? No, definitely not. You need to find a lean protein source. And even if you can't tolerate, I mean, are you sure you can't tolerate any of those? It's a very long list for you not to be able to tolerate. Beans and lentils are not protein sources, they're carb sources. So you would have to eat a lot of them in order to get adequate protein. But if you're eating a lot of them, you're overeating on carbs. So you really need to find a lean protein source. If you can't have any of the lean protein sources, then I would highly recommend that you switch to protein powder, because you really do need a lean protein source in order to achieve your goals. You cannot just eat carbs for your protein. Question, will you be talking about a hard build on Friday? I have about 23% body fat, so I assume I need to do a hard build. I'm not going to be specifically talking about a hard build Friday. I'm going to be presenting the new program mostly, so I'm not going to be going into specifics about hard build, lean build, all that kind of stuff. This program, this 5-day challenge, wasn't about going into very specifics about what people should do for their individual goals. It was more to give you an overview with mindset and specific strategies as to how you can create a plan moving forward for yourself. 23% body fat, I wouldn't say you need a hard build. No, I would say a 23% body fat. If I was 23% body fat, I certainly wouldn't be pushing into a hard build. I always like to maintain my body fat below 20%. Me personally. So I definitely wouldn't be doing a hard build. I would still be doing eating beans, lentils, cruciferous vegetables, only keeping white starchy carbs to before and after training. And I would be aiming to get my body fat down lower than 20%, because I just think the more body fat you have, the harder it is on your body. So, and also you look better when you're below 20%. Could you go into a hard build if you wanted? Yes, but you definitely wouldn't want to be putting on any more body fat than 23%. Hard builders put on body fat. So you don't want to be putting on any extra body fat, is my personal opinion. So I would be focusing hard on building muscle in the gym, but I would be keeping my nutrition pretty steady and only increasing my calories when I had really ramped up my intensity in the gym. And that's really what a hard build is. Are cucumbers and celery allowed? Don't think they're cruciferous? Yes, because they are salad greens. So unlimited amount of cucumbers and celery are absolutely allowed on the program and definitely, definitely should be eaten as much as possible. Are HIIT exercises considered cardio? Yes, they are considered cardio. So you can do as much HIIT as you want. If you love HIIT and you want to do it, rock on. How long does it take to notice a difference usually when you're consistent? Well, there's two things you need. You need consistency, but you also need, it depends on what difference you mean, right? Do you mean to lose body fat difference, or do you mean to build muscle difference? Because usually someone, if they are strength training in the gym, hard and to failure, doing cardio consistently and nailing their nutrition 80% of the time, if you're doing that and you're not on a hard shred, you will notice a big difference within about 3 months. And people are like, oh, 3 months? Like, the amount of people that come on our programs and then after 5 days, they weigh themselves and or they take, and they're like, oh, I'm really feeling like so upset. Like, I really just expected the scale to have moved by now. And we're like, you've been doing the program for 5 days, but they've worked harder than in those 5 days than they've ever worked in their life before. And they genuinely expect to stand on the scale and be like, you know, like 10 pounds lighter. But, you know, just because you feel like you're working hard doesn't actually mean that you should be getting any more results or any better results. So usually if someone is consistent, you'll start to see good results after about 3 months. And in a year, you'll have a completely different body. What is the best way to strengthen arms to be able to do a full push-up? Do push-ups. If you want to be able to do a full push-up, do push-ups every single day. Every time you have a chance, drop down and do a push-up. That's what you have to do. And, you know, start on your knees in like a box position and or in a tabletop position, and then eventually move your knees further back and back and back and back and back until maybe one day you try to lift your knees off the floor and you do a push-up. But the thing about doing a push-up is, so here's a really good tip for any of you doing a push-up. Once you have your hands on the floor, you want to turn your hands slightly in, okay? So just ever so slightly in, because this stabilizes the shoulder girdle. Then you want to suck your navel to your spine and try and close the gap between your ribs and your pubic bone. So, and a lot of you are probably doing it now. You're like, huh, right. So, and that activation of the core is what keeps the back in a slight rounded position and actually makes your push-up easier. Whenever people flop in the middle and they allow their belly to flop, you put a lot of pressure on your lower back. And so you're just making it super hard for your body to do a push-up. Whereas if you try and suck your navel to your spine and then close the gap between your pubic bone and your lower ribs, and then with your hands turned slightly in, lower down and then push back up, you will activate all of the muscles on your back and you will do a push-up very easily. Your lower body really shouldn't come into effect at all in a push-up. Whenever I'm doing a push-up, I actually go right up on my tippy toes and I kind of, so if I'm in a push-up like this, right? So these are my arms and this is my body. I rock up on my tippy toes, which is my elbow, and I kind of rock forward like this. So my wrist here in the middle is my lower back. So my body, and these are my arms. My body is in this shape, right? So then whenever I lower down, I'm lowering like this, and then I'm coming back up. So whenever you lower down, you're almost going slightly forward and back up. So you should always be thinking forward, almost like you're tipping forward slightly on your shoulders, but your back is in a slightly round position. So a lot of push-ups and pull-ups and things are about technique as well. So the more you do them, the more you'll develop the technique. Is it best to do cardio earlier or later in the day? Doesn't matter. Your body will burn calories when your body burns calories. Doesn't matter if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, or 11 o'clock at night. Just get it done. I do cardio class, but hard to stay in fat burning zone. Is this problematic? No, that's great. It's only problematic if you are working towards a very specific Shred Goal, which says that you should do 30 minutes of cardio per day. If you're doing specific 30 minutes of cardio per day, then your heart rate needs to stay in the fat burning zone. But if you're just aiming towards a bit of fat loss and a healthy lifestyle, nailing your nutrition will actually give you better results than doing cardio. So it doesn't really matter. Here's the thing, guys, right? See, whenever you have your nutrition absolutely 100% correct, it doesn't matter really what cardio you do, because cardio is only 15% of your fat burning efforts. People get really fixated on the cardio. Oh, what cardio should I do? What cardio should I do? And I always say, forget the feckin' cardio. Forget it. Go into the kitchen. Go and focus on your nutrition. I always say to people whenever they join one of our programs, don't even look at the training program. Don't even look at the cardio plan. Download the nutrition plan first. Read it. Watch all the videos. Like, we have video demonstrations. We have cooking demonstrations. We have specific demonstrations on every single thing nutrition related, especially in the 6-month program we're opening on Friday. It's all laid out for you. Spend your time there. Don't even open the cardio or training plan. But people want to start immediately, right? They want to do something now. I want to get started now. I want to try the cardio now. And I always say, no, don't be so impatient. Download the nutrition plan. Start that. Get to grips with that first. That's going to give you the biggest ROI. The biggest ROI will come from nailing your nutrition. If you ask any of our top 10 in any of our programs, they will tell you that they all meal prepped on the weekend. Every single one of them meal prepped on the weekend without fail. And that's why they got such good results. So if you can nail your nutrition, you are going to get phenomenal results. But if you can't nail your nutrition, you're really not going to get the results that you deserve. Okay, guys, let me see if I have a couple more questions here. There's millions of them, so I'm just going to grab a few. Will under 40s be able to join the new 6-month program? Yes. So let me tell you about this very quickly. We have $100,000 prize fund. Yes, $100,000. $60,000 is being made available over the 6 months. So we're doing this to keep you motivated. I have $10,000 per month available to somebody in the program every single month. And to enter, to win $10,000, all you have to do is submit progress photos. So we want you to take a progress photo every week. Every single week to take a progress photo, because people who take progress photos get the best results. Then you have to upload 4 progress photos to our, I think it's only 2 photos. I can't even remember how we've done it. Anyway, it's photos anyway. Or maybe it's 1 photo, like put into a grid. It'll all be in the rules. You have to upload, let's say, 4 photos to our website. Everyone who uploads the photos, their name goes into a draw. And Laura will do the Wheel of Fortune every month, and it'll pick one person to win 10,000. We don't even look at your photos. Well, we do, to make sure that they're not photos of, like, you know, your house or something, that you've actually followed the rules. But if you upload progress photos, Laura will choose one person every single month to win $10,000. And this is a 6-month program. We're not going to have 4,000 people join this program. We're going to have probably under 1,000 people join this program, and only 10% of people will actually enter the competition. So you have an enormous chance every month to win $10,000. And there's 6 of them. So the under 40s can participate in that. The only thing that anyone under 40 cannot participate in is the final competition at the end. So we have an additional 40,000, which is 20,000 for first, 10,000 for second, 5,000 for third, 3,000 for fourth, and 2,000 for fifth. We have that available at the end as a transformation prize, but under 40s cannot enter the transformation, because that wouldn't be fair to the over 40s. But they absolutely can enter the monthly competition, which is not linked to transformation. So, and I'm so excited about it. You have no idea. I really, really am so excited about it. Like, it's absolutely, absolutely amazing. I'm trying to see. I'm trying to look for the questions. Just going up and down. During your menses, should one push through, or is it okay to rest a bit? Do whatever feels right for you. Honestly, it's harder when I have my period to train. But actually, it's not. Do you know what? It's not harder. I got my period yesterday, and I haven't had one for 35 days because I'm perimenopausal. And I went to the gym and trained legs yesterday, and I didn't hold back. And in fact, I woke up yesterday morning feeling really energetic. So you just have to be guided by what you feel. Some people are like, oh, I have my period, so that means I can't train. And like, but what if your period falls on the day when you feel strongest and most energetic, which it did for me yesterday? I woke up being like, yes, I had so much sleep, I'm ready to attack the world. And then I was like, oh shit, I got my period. I totally wasn't expecting it. So you just have to go by how you feel. But then there's some mornings I go to the gym and I go, Mark, I've got my period, I really feel like shit. And he goes, oh, diddums, jump on that squat rack there and we'll see how you go. And I end up beasting it. So the thing is, whenever you have your period, your progesterone levels are actually super high. So as your estrogen levels rise towards ovulation, and then after ovulation, your estrogen levels fall, which means your progesterone levels rise. And your progesterone levels are actually the hormone that causes you to lift really heavy, believe it or not. Estrogen does too, but a flood of progesterone is actually causes you to be able to beast it in the gym. And a lot of women don't know this. They think that, you know, because they don't feel so good that they should go lighter in the gym. Genuinely, how I feel in the moment has really never, ever, ever affected my performance in the gym. It's just affected how much I whinge about it, bitch, and complain about it. And so I have a wee pity party for myself and make myself feel a wee bit better with a wee bit of complaining to Mark, who doesn't actually give a shit whether or not I have my period, and puts me on that squat rack and loads 5 plates on each side and says, 3, 2, 1, go, bitch. And I always manage to lift it. So you think about it. You know, the way we train in the Sculpted Vegan, you're only actually going to failure on one set of every exercise. I do 4 exercises on leg day, 4. That's it. And the first exercise, I go to failure on the leg extension. It's really not that hard. I've only got 2 sets, the incline hack squat and the pendulum, where I really go to failure in my final set. 1 set, that's it. So it's like 1 minute, 2 minutes out of my entire day where I really go to failure. I do a hard last set as well on the lying leg curls. So 3 minutes out of my whole day. Do you think for 3 minutes out of your whole day, you could push through? You probably could. And that's what it takes to be an athlete. So as much as I say, listen to your body, don't listen to it too much. Because sometimes it's necessary just to push through. And that's what athletes do. And that's how you get results. Okay, guys, that is us for today. Thank you so much for showing up. For those of you who are like, what the fuck? The word? I said the word right at the very beginning. So you're going to have to go back and re-listen. If you weren't here on time, that's why it pays to show up on time. Because we're not going to make this easy for you. We'll get $10,000 on the line here. So we only want the people who are really willing to do the work to be in with the chance of winning the $10,000. Because it's, you know, we didn't want to make it too easy for you. Because loads of people joined this challenge just for the $10,000 who aren't actually showing up and doing the work. And we know who you are. We see your posts in the group. You're like, I can't find the word. Kim didn't say the word. Kim said the word very clearly and spelled it twice. So were you actually paying attention? We're having wee giggles to ourselves. Almost. We're like, we're just trying to make it difficult for you. So those of you who are actually showing up and paying attention, doing the work, you know who you are. You're the ones who are feeling quite proud of yourselves right now, aren't you? You're like, I know what the words are. I have them all written down. So $10,000 on the line on Friday. Can't wait to give away 10 grand. It's going to be epic. Friday's going to be such a party. We're going to be drinking champagne here in the office. We always drink champagne on the last day of the challenge because it requires a huge amount of work from the whole team and a lot of energy from me. And so we just get pished in the last session. Drink champagne. It's really good fun. For those of you in VIP, I will see you in 2 hours. And if you're not in VIP, you are missing out. Honestly, for $39, you have no idea what you're missing out on. The sessions I've been almost exhausted after the sessions because the amount of questions and talking and science that we've been digging into and like the fun that we've been having in that group, really digging in deeper to all the strategies that I'm teaching you here. Tell you, if you're not in VIP, you're missing out. It's not too late to join. You still can keep up. You can catch all the replays. And for everyone else here, by the way, just before you go, all of the material for you, unfortunately, is going to disappear on Friday. So all of the workouts will come down. All of these lives will come down. Everything will come down. The only way you'll be able to access them after Friday is in the VIP, where you have lifetime access to them. So we're clearing the group on Friday. But if you're in VIP, you have lifetime access to all of the trainings in the VIP. So it's not too late to join. You can join anytime. One of the coaches will post the link, or the link is actually, if you go to the featured tab in the Facebook group, there's a link in there to join. Okay, thank you guys for showing up. I love you all so much. You guys are the diehards. It was showing me all along that I had like 294 people on, and now it's showing 543. So I don't know whether it just updated or something happened, or whether we had like 545 on. But anyway, here we are. Love you all. Mwah! I hope you can feel how much I love you. I'm sending you big hugs and kisses through the screen. See those of you in VIP in 2 hours, and see the rest of you here tomorrow, where we're going to be talking about motivation and mindset. You don't want to miss that one. It's going to be absolutely amazing. It's my best material that I've ever taught, and you are going to love it. You're going to have so many mindset shifts from watching it. So thank you so much for being here. Love you all so much, and I will see you all tomorrow. And thank you to my team for being here as well. I appreciate each and every one of you and all the effort you've put in. Bye, guys. Love you so much.